Now, some of you will know, I've just got back from South Africa. I went on a little holiday jaunt to South Africa. I was actually looking for the sun, but it turns out what I learned at school is true. The whole southern hemisphere has winter at the same time. So where I went to, which was supposed to be warm, was frozen. But anyway, it was still great. I saw the family, and I caught up with a couple of churches that I'm connected with, and it was a great time. And this year, I took my son with me. Often I go alone, but this time it's Calvin with me, and it was a great time. He caught up with some of his childhood friends, and it was a great father-son experience. 3 weeks, we just traveled together, we stayed together, and you realize why you would rather sleep with your wife than your children. But that's another subject. We learned a lot about each other. And Calvin got to learn a lot about me. You know, this is the thing. Here's the thing. Parents learn so much. We know our children. We've known our children since yay high. You know, we know everything about our children. But our children only know our adult lives. Our children only know our grown-up lives. So there's a whole version of us that our children have never seen. They don't know, you know. They don't know when we were stupid and immature and maybe rebellious and irresponsible. I'm talking about Naomi mostly here. Our whole past is hidden from our children. They never get to see it. They think we're always boring and we're always grown up. But sometimes they get a little glimpse. So one day I decide to take Calvin to my roots. Now, my roots, well, basically, we drive down the coast. It's called the South Coast of KwaZulu-Natal. It's a state in South Africa. It's on the right-hand side, and there's a South Coast there, but no one says South Coast. They just say the coast. You know, it's basically like Margaret River to Perth. When you go down to Margaret River, you're going down the coast. But Margaret River's uppity, and they all got wine farms. And it's very, very fancy, I think. Whereas when you go down the coast, okay, you don't just go down the coast, you go down the coast. You're really going down the socioeconomic ladder when you go down the coast. It's Darrow, it's backwards, it's got brilliant surf. And so I take Calvin down to my roots, and we go to this Darrow little town, so run down, called Sandwich Port. I don't even know if Google knows Sandwich Port. It's like nowhere. And we go down and we start going over these little railway lines. There's no safety, nothing. You just look left and you look right and check there's no cars. And then you go over the railway line. But it's very narrow, you know. And so another car was coming. Now we're driving. We've got all my boards, my kites and my surfboards and Calvin's, and we're chilling, cruising, you know. And we go over this railway line and this ute starts coming at us. It is, I can't tell you. It looks like something out of Dumb and Dumber. It's broken down. It's rusted. There's two dudes in the front. And we have to slow right down to get through this little pass over the railway line. And just on the other side is perfect surf, as always, at Sunridge. And as we slow down and try and squeeze past each other, well, the two characters in this car were like Dumb and Dumber. You had to, it was characters, colorful characters. The one guy's got a beanie and he's got this bushy bleached hair that's sticking out everywhere and this beard. And the other guy next to him is just as Darrow. And it's 11 in the morning. They're both completely stoned. The car smells like a bonfire, you know. And they're leaning out and it didn't have carpets on the inside, but it might as well. And there's boards everywhere and they both got a beer in their hand and they're like, yo, bro. And so as we cross over, Calvin's just gawking at this. This is like fascinating, you know. And he's staring at it. And as my son is looking at this and we're going past, they suddenly look at me and go, hey, Dwayno, you know, and I'm, oh, no. And they're like, how's it, Brew? How are you going, Brew? It's like, oh, and it's Rooster and John, two mates of mine from my past. But anyway, complete hobos. It doesn't look like it now, but, you know. And Calvin was fascinated. You know, my dad's the pastor of a church, and he's connecting with these brews from the South Coast. He got such, in that moment, he got such a picture of a totally another me. It was a completely different version of me. And I loved it. Well, I blushed a bit and embarrassed and accelerated. No, they're good guys. But I had to explain to Calvin, and I came up with a great line. Calvin, can you see the difference Jesus can make? Can you see it? Can you see it? And Calvin's 18. He's smart enough. He's not yet enough, so I'm not embarrassing. But he just saw it so clearly. This is the difference, not education, although admittedly neither of them finished school. It's not education. It's this is the difference Jesus can make. He saw it in black and white. He saw another version of me. Now, I know this whole introduction is about me. I get that. But I want to tell you tonight, if you're a Christian, the same is true of you. If you're a real Christian, then you have had the same experience, more or less, to some degree or another. Because here's what's happening. When you're a Christian, Jesus is working on a new version of you. He has been working on it. He will work on it. But I'm going to show you tonight that he's actually achieved it. He's actually accomplished it. If you're here tonight and you're not yet a Christian, maybe you're improving. And gee, I hope so. Or maybe you're getting worse. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But here's what I do know. There will only ever be one version of you. Only one version. Whereas it's not true with Christians. When you come to Jesus Christ, you are a brand new version. You're still you, but you're a different version. And our passage is going to show that to us. And it's going to tell us what it looks like. And it's going to tell us how Jesus achieved it. And it's even going to take us and show us what it'll look like in the end. Let me show it to you. Here's what we're going to see. As a Christian, here's the first thing. Since Christ is your life. Wow, what a phrase. Christ is your life. Look again at this passage. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Look at this phrase. When Christ, who is your life, appears. Christ is your life. This is an astonishing and I think very refreshing description of the Christian. It's why the word Christian is such a good word. Christ is your life. Think about it. Think about it. This is why the Christian is a brand new version of themselves. You know, we often talk like this in Christian circles. It's not a sin, but we say something like this. Have you invited Jesus into your life? Have you heard that phrase before? It's not a sin, but it's not always helpful because that's not Christianity. Christianity is about Jesus inviting you into his life. That's what Christianity is. Christ is your life. Christianity is not an add-on. It's not an extra. I play sport, I work, I look after the kids, and I'm a Christian. That's not Christianity. Christianity is where you are completely another version. Christ is your life. Christianity is not, here I go, living my life. Jesus comes into my life. Jesus helps me get on with my life. That's not Christianity. Christianity is when you lose your life. Your life is over. Look with me at verse 3 there. For you have died. Wow. That's pretty stark. For you have made a decision. No. For you have decided to let Jesus in. No. You have died. Goodbye, Dwayne. See you later. It's been nice knowing you. Actually, it wasn't that nice knowing you, to be honest. But goodbye. Good riddance. You have died. Dead. When did you die? When did you die? Well, you died when Christ died. For Christ is your life. When he died, you died. One of the central teachings of the New Testament is that when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, when Jesus Christ was crucified, you died, if you're a Christian, you died with him. When he gave up the ghost in the old language, when he hung on that cross, when he stopped breathing and went limp, you died. You died together with Christ. He was your substitute. And every time you look up at the cross, you ought to see your old self dead. Look at the cross. There you hang. Did you know that you've been hanged? Is it hung or is it hanged? Well, let's not get hung up on that. You are dead. You died with Christ. Paul says, I was crucified with Christ. I was crucified with him. Now, this is liberating. This is liberating. Let me give you some reasons. Sin and guilt. Think about sin and guilt. All dead and gone. Dead and gone. You're not trapped by it. You are liberated from it because you died. When Jesus Christ hung on that cross, your guilt, your sin was upon him because you were united with him. You died with him. Do you know how liberating that is? Imagine you pop out to the IGA quickly. We've forgotten milk again. So you jump in the car and you dash down the IGA and you go past a school. And how fast do you go past a school? But you need the milk. And the next thing, as you go past the school, flash. You get pinged for speeding. Oh, I was just getting milk. Oh, and you drive down and you feel guilty. You know, speeding on the freeway is one thing. Speeding past a school, you feel ashamed. It shouldn't be done. Oh, shouldn't have. I should have paid more attention. Oh, pinged. What's it going to be? About 106, I don't know, 3 demerits, 2, I don't know. Oh, and you get the milk, and you say, oh, it's milk. And I get the letter, and I have to tell Naomi I've wasted money, and I don't know. Get in your car with your darn milk, and you're driving back home, and would you believe it, there's a bushfire next to the school, and the camera's on fire. And you drive past. Oh, God, what a let off. It's just gone up in flames. You know, I was wrong. I was guilty, but it's burnt. There's no record of my... It's such a cool feeling, and you can have your coffee with your milk. You know, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, your sin, your guilt went up in flames. There were pictures. You don't know what you... You know that thing you did? No one saw it. God's got pictures of it. He saw it. You think he forgets? On the cross, it went up in flames. It got burned. All the evidence against you is gone. It's liberating. But it's not just your sin and guilt. It's your past life. The old Dwayne died. I find him an amusing relic from history. He's dead. The past hasn't got a hold on you. I was with a couple in London when I worked in London. I was reading a Bible with a guy, banker, and he was about to get married to this girl, really nice guy. But he had grown up in a Christian home, so he was a virgin. He had kept himself for his marriage. But she hadn't grown up like that. She was not a bad girl, but she had slept around quite a bit, you know, and she had only become a Christian later on, at uni, in fact. And they were getting married, and he loved her dearly. He really did. But he did have a problem. There was this issue, like, we're going to get married, and on the first night of our honeymoon, I find it difficult that my wife has been with other men. I struggle with that. And this passage helped him so much because he started taking on the mind of Christ. And he looked at his new wife and he thought to himself, that part of her is dead. This is not her trying to be a good girl. She's a new version. No other man has been with this version. That past is dead and buried. And thirdly, and best of all, do you know why it's liberating? Imagine facing God. You face God. What can God do to you that he hasn't done already when you were on the cross? When you died with Jesus? I know I will stand before God guilty. I know I will be afraid. Who can't face the creator of the universe and be unafraid? But at the same time, God has done his worst. When Christ was crucified, bearing the penalty for my sin, I stand punished already. There's therefore now no condemnation to me because I was condemned and I died in Jesus Christ. I died with Christ. No double jeopardy. I don't have to die. I'm so glad that's over with. Whew. It's done. Done. But you haven't just died with Christ. Look at that first line. If then you have been raised with Christ. It just gets better and better. I didn't just die with Christ. And now, Dwayne, you are Mr. Neutral. Not at all. I haven't just died with Christ. I've been raised with Christ. Jesus didn't stay dead. I died with him. That's half the good news. But the second half is that I rose with him on the third day when he rose. When Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, Dwayne came out of that tomb. Jesus was the beginning of the brand new creation. No longer does Jesus get tired. No longer does Jesus get weak. No longer does Jesus get hungry. No longer is Jesus able to be spat on. No longer can he be crucified. Jesus is no longer what he was. He has been raised in glory. He shared our weakness so that we can share his strength. Where is Jesus now? Look at verse 1. If then you've been raised with Christ, well, where is he? Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Where is Christ? Can anyone here see him? No, you can't, because he's in incalculable glory. You can't see him. He's in such incredible glory, radiant, splendid glory. Don't look for Jesus in a stable. Don't look for him on a dusty road. Don't look for him in a carpenter shop. He's in a happy place. He's in glory. But he's sitting. Did you see? He's seated. Why are we told about his posture? Because seated tells me the work is done. He's sitting down because he's on a break. Oh, that's a bad way of putting it. But the point is, the work is finished. It's done and dusted. He's got the job done. He's sitting there, finished what he set out to do. But he's not just sitting there. And he's not just in glory. He's with the Father. He's sitting right next to God. He's exactly where he wants to be, where you'd like to be. He's sitting next to God. He's got God's ear right next to him in a place of ecstatic joy. Not only that, he's at the right hand of God, which means the position of power, authority, ruling over everything. And you might be sitting here going, well, bully for Jesus. I'm so glad for him. Stop being glad for Jesus and be glad for yourself. Because according to this passage, you're with him. You're seated with him. You're there with him. Just like you were with him on the cross when he died, you are with him in glory now. Just think what this means. Your best hopes and dreams, hear this, have been realized. Your best hopes and dreams have been achieved. You've been promoted beyond your wildest dreams. Why do you think Paul is telling the Colossians this? Why is he saying this here? Because the Colossians have been promised, they come to Jesus, and a whole lot of false teachers have come and said, listen, do you want to go to the next level? When I was in South Africa, Calvin and I counted. On one day, we heard 9 Christian radio stations. Every second TV show is Christianity. And half of them, unfortunately, are not biblical. And all they promise is a breakthrough. We're going to have a breakthrough tonight. It's just about this breakthrough. I don't know what a breakthrough is. I haven't had one yet. But the Colossians had people coming to them saying, you need a breakthrough. And Paul's saying, you don't need no breakthrough. You've got Jesus. You've broken through. You're at the right hand of the Father. You need nothing. I can't promote you. I can't offer you a weekend where you have this woo-hoo. I can't do anything for you because you're already there. Don't try and get there. You're already there if you're in Jesus Christ. You've been raised with Jesus. You know, Dwayne is one thing, but Christian Dwayne is altogether another thing. And it's true for you. It's true for you. This is what's so great about being a Christian. You know, let me speak a moment, if I can, to those of you who are not yet Christians. But can I be frank with you? Don't say you won't throw anything. Here's your problem, if I may be brutal. It was my problem too. Here's your problem. You're still you. That's your problem. Sorry. You're still you. You might improve. You might try really hard. You might want to change. You might read, you know, Jordan Peterson, 12 Rules for Good Living, you know, and you might want to do that. But you'll still be you. Let me show you 2 reasons. Your past. You haven't died. So your past is still relevant. Your past will come back to haunt you sometime. It will. Especially when you face God. Because you've never died before. Your past has never been dealt with. Do you know how many people go to psychologists today to help them deal with their past? But unless you die, your past will always be relevant. Secondly, your future. You will never be raised to Jesus Christ's level. I know you think you're going to get better and better and better and finally reach Mother Teresa, but you're never going to reach Jesus. The Christian has both of those things. We've died, and we've been raised to Jesus. Without dying and rising again, you can never fundamentally change who you are. Without dying and rising again, logically. All the changes you make will be superficial only. Deep down inside, you'll be the same person. Even if you act differently, inside you'll be the same person. Which is why Jesus taught that self-reformation is useless. That Jesus said that. Outward conformity can't change who we are inside. It's why religion is hopeless. Now maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't want to change anyway. Dwayne, you must really dislike yourself. Because I actually think I'm okay. I don't want to change. Boy, did you have problems. I'm happy the way I am. Do you think, are you really? Well, listen, maybe you are, and I don't want to judge you. But if you're happy with the way you are, make sure you're very happy with the way you are. Because for the rest of eternity, for forever, you will have you. I hope you really like you, because you're going to be stuck with yourself forever. For absolutely forever. Hell is a place where people have nothing and no one else to worship but themselves. You know what hell is? Hell is a hall of mirrors where you can love yourself forever. Christianity is a chance to escape yourself and become someone completely different. Christianity is a way where Christ is your life. Now, if this is true, how do I live like this, Dwayne? How do I live as if Christ is alive? And the passage teaches us two things. Here they are, both together, very briefly. Set your hearts. If this is true, set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above. Look at 1 and 2. Now, if this is true for you, that's why he says if. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Now, why have you said set your hearts? I think the word seek has to do with a heart. I don't want to go into it, is there something on my head? There was. It's an animal. I kid you not. Look, that was awkward. I'll put it over here. It's like a praying mantis. Please, I'm trying to preach a sermon here. There he's gone. That was horrible. Okay, that was scary. Well, here's what we must do. We must set our hearts, set your hearts on things above. And look at what it says, verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above. Now, I'm going to take those things as the same idea. Very similar. Set your hearts, set your minds on things above. Orientate yourselves to who you really are. I've told you the truth. This is what God says about you. Now, what you have to do is orientate yourself in line with the truth, who you really are. First of all, in your heart, that is, in your affections, the things you love, and in your mind, in your thoughts. So let's look at that very quickly. First of all, your affections. Give your heart to things, not here, but there. If this is true, right? If this is true, if you're a Christian and this is true, then put your heart somewhere else. Put your heart somewhere else. Seriously. Seriously. Train your heart. You know you can give your heart to something. You know this is true. You know you can be at the beach, see the most stunning girl, and make a decision to give your heart or pull it back. Or a car or whatever, ice cream or whatever you get off on. My point is, you know you can do this. Now, the Bible says, give your heart, let it go to things above, not here. Sit lightly to the things around you. Don't give your heart to these things. Do not ask me why I remember this, but there was a very old advert on TV long, long, long ago. It was for an insurance company. And basically, you got this lovely young couple, and they're obviously moving house. And so along comes these two clowns in this truck to move all their stuff. And it's hilarious, because the one guy walks out with a fag in his mouth, and, you know, it's overdone. And he turns, and he knocks the head off a statue, and the lady goes, oh! You know, and then the other guy drops the piano, and the guy goes, oh! And they put all their stuff in this truck, and it drives down the freeway, and they're both looking at each other. You know what happens. The back doors open and all their stuff pours out onto the freeway. And Elvis, it's an old ad, Elvis starts playing in the background. There goes my everything. There goes my everything. You know, it's a beautiful picture. Maybe it's not. But here's the point. Don't do that. That's a picture of what we do. We put our hearts into things around us. We just give our hearts away. You're going to get hurt if you give your heart away. You know, ask Auntie Fanny in the newspaper or anybody. Don't give your heart away to these things. The Bible says set your heart above. Love that, not this. Treasure that, not this. Don't treasure it. Don't treasure it. Jesus says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Augustine has got this great saying. Listen to this. This is brilliant. The soul is not where it is, but where it loves. The soul is not where it is, but where it loves. So love it. Love the things above. Where are you now? Where are you right now? Have you drifted off to Macca's tonight? Are you thinking about the beach? If you're driving along, where do you drift off to? Ah, oh, I'm in Bali again. Look at the butterflies. Where do you drift, or do you set your heart on Christ? Not only that, secondly, think. Verse 2, set your minds. Reorientate your brains. Put the clutch in. Change the gears. Think of Jesus Christ seated next to the Father. You're there with him. Make your mind think about these things. I've said this before. You're driving to kitesurf at Lancelin. You've got a choice. You can put the Eagles and Hotel California on and drift away. Or you could go over two or three verses. It's really up to you. Which one will you cogitate on? Which one will embrace your mind? Which one will you think about? Look at verse 3. It's beautiful. For you have died. And here's this line. I know a friend who's got this tattooed on his arm. Can you believe that? And your life is hidden with Christ in God. You are hidden with Christ in God. What does hidden mean? Well, the first thing it means in the Bible is safety and security. Listen to Psalm 27. He will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. Friends, basically, you can't touch Dwayne. You can't touch this. I'm hidden. I'm safe with my Jesus. Up there where you can't reach. It's high above next to God on the throne. Think, Christian, how safe you are. How safe are you? Think of it. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Can it get any safer? You know, it's like Avatar. Gee, all the movies I quote are old. I really must move on. But anyway, it's like Avatar. You know Avatar. You're here, but you're driving somebody down there, you know? And, well, in some ways, this is Christian Avatar. You really are with Christ, hidden with him in God. But here in Perth, your little avatar's running around. And here's the thing. Everyone knows avatars can die. Do you know your avatar can die? But you can't die because you're hidden. Your life is in Christ, in God. You're untouchable. Never mind what they do to your avatar. Now, Dwayne, let's close. All of this sounds so great. I mean, this is, wow. Woohoo! This is amazing. I just can't see it. I wish I could see it the way you do. I can't see it. Well, of course you can't see it. Because verse 3, it's hidden. Look at verse 3. You have died and your life is hidden. It's not apparent now. It's not manifest now. It's not visible now. People who are not yet Christians look at us and they say of us, what's so great about your life? But they're staring at our avatar. They can't see what, you can't see, I admit that. I admit you can't see it now. It's hidden, but not always. And that's our final point. Look at the last thing. Because you will, it's not always going to be hidden. You will appear with him in glory. Since Christ is your life, set your hearts on things above. Set your mind on things above. Here's why. Because you will appear with him in glory. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Oh, my goodness. Christian, do you know what's coming to you? Do you really? I don't think you do. I don't even. Can you believe it? One day when he appears, my life will appear. My life will appear. And not just appear, my life will appear with him in glory. We're all looking forward to that. We're all looking forward to the perfect version of us. which is coming with Jesus Christ. We're all waiting for glory. You know, all reasonable people support the Eagles, obviously. And what are all Eagles fans looking forward to? We're all looking forward to the grand final. Of course, all reasonable people. And wherever I go now, colors are coming out. I was at the IGA the other day. Man, every second person's got an Eagle scarf. The colors are coming out. Every dashboard's got Eagles on. You know, everyone, it's all number plates, you know, WCE, West Coast Eagles. It's all the colors are coming out now because they're waiting. Their hearts and minds are set on the grand final day, and they can't wait. But you know what? We're not even in the team. I mean, it's nice to support these guys. I think you should. But we're not part of the Eagles. We're just supporters. I'm not even part of the supporters club. And when they win the grand final, and you heard it here first, when they win the grand final, do you know how happy we're going to be? We are going to rejoice. But we don't share in their glory. Do you think McGovern and them are going to come to my house and have a cup of coffee with me because they won the grand final? They don't even care. They say they care about my support, but they don't. The glory's all theirs, not mine. Now, how much better is it to be a Christian than an Eagle supporter? We're also waiting for the grand final day. We are also. But here's the difference. Our victory is already guaranteed. I just made big claims. You're going to laugh at me if the Eagles don't make the grand final. Jesus will make the grand final. It's guaranteed. In fact, wait a minute. We're not waiting for the grand final day. That was the cross where he won. We're waiting for prize giving day. We can't wait. And here's the thing. We're not just supporters of Jesus. According to this passage, we are united with Jesus. We're on the team. We don't support Jesus. We're in Jesus. He is our life. His victory is our victory. His glories and accolades and the grand final is all ours. Let me close with a genuine question. You know how people say, maybe they've never said it to you, and I'm sorry if they hadn't. Gee, I wish I had your life. You know? Has anyone said that to you? Gee, I wish I had your life. Or maybe you look at, Richard Branson, I don't know, because he kite surfs on an island in the Caribbean. So I'm trying not to think of that. Who do you look at and say, gee, I wish I had your life. I wish I had your life. Whose life would you like? Whose life would you like? Tonight, Jesus says to you, you can have my life. Do you want it? You can look at Jesus and say, gee, I wish I had your life. And he'll say, yeah, you got it. Christ is your life. If you're a Christian, you can have his life.